That gospel today is one that invites us to a little reflection upon the action of Christ within our lives. It says that Jesus went about doing good. He went about curing illness. He went about expelling demons. And I think that's an important part of the ministry of Jesus today, is to expel the demons of our life. When we hear that word demon, I think we usually think of the devil and the fallen angels. And certainly possession by the demons in that sense is very real, that is true. But it's not just those demons that we need to be concerned about. There's other demons within our life, those negative things, those negative attitudes. I'm reminded of a story of Jesus going up and telling a woman, "You are possessed by seven demons, and I want to deliver you from those seven demons." And the woman thought about it for a little while. Jesus said, "You want freedom from these seven demons that possess your life?" And she said, "Lord, can you make it six?" It's important because there's always those ones we want to hold on to, those ones that we don't want to give up, those weaknesses that we may have that we kind of enjoy. And those demons can be all kinds of different things within our life. It can be a judgmental attitude. It can be negativity. It can be critical spirit. It can be lust. It can be pornography. And demons of anger, envy, gluttony. All kinds of different demons can be there within our life. And the Lord does want to deliver us from that demonic part of our own life, the ways in which we are still influenced by those. But we particularly need to get in touch with the one that we want to hold on to, the one that somehow seems so important to us. We have Lent coming up very quickly here, and as we enter into that spirit of Lent, maybe one thing we could do this Lent is take a look at that one demon within our life that Christ really wants to free us from. And he won't free us just by saying be gone, but rather through the practice of virtue, by doing the opposite virtue from what the demonic is, by practicing those virtues of charity, of understanding, of self-control, of chastity. Practicing those virtues is how we are freed from that negativity, from that sinfulness. And so we are challenged to identify and to allow Christ to enter in, to help us to be freed from all the demons of our life. The second thing in the gospel today, it says that Jesus was being put upon to do all kinds of good things. He was very, very busy. But what did he do? He got up early in the morning and went off and prayed. He was not so busy that he couldn't pray. I'm so very, very impressed when I visit with so many of you of what an active prayer life you have, of how every morning or every evening you take time for God. You turn off the TV, the radio, the whatever it may be, and you really listen to God and spend time in prayer. As I say, I'm really edified myself at the number of you who do that. Taking time to really allow the Lord to speak to your heart, as well as for you to speak your heart to the Lord. How crucially important that is. You know, the most perfect prayer, obviously, is the prayer of the Mass, because it's not just my prayer or your prayer or our prayer, but rather all of those joined together with the prayer of Jesus. So therefore, that is the most important prayer that we offer, but it can't be the only prayer that we offer. We're all called to a very personal relationship with Christ, taking time each day to spend with the Lord, to reflect upon his word, to pray for our world, our nation, to pray for our own families and our friends, to be able to listen to God. You know, he can't speak to us in the midst of the busyness of our life, But in those moments of silence, those moments of openness, God will speak to us. And so we are challenged once again, I think, as we approach Lent, to begin to think about, how can I take more time for God? How can I withdraw a little bit from the busyness of my life to spend time with the Lord, to allow His Word to touch my heart, to transform my life? These are the challenges that each of us have. It's the personal responsibility of entering more deeply into the rejection of that which is evil and being braced more fully by the loving presence of our God. Today, throughout the Archdiocese, we're being asked to take time to complete our commitment to the Archbishop's call to share. We're all familiar with that, or I trust we are. There's about 50 different ministries that reach out and bring the presence of Christ into our campuses, to the poor and the needy, to our young people. There's so many different ways in which the life of the church is built up through our generosity to call to share. And obviously, our parish community has always been very generous to the call to share. But there's many of us who have not participated in this, and those of you who have not, I'm particularly asking to make your commitment, whatever it may be, to assist in these very, very important works of the church. It's your generosity and the generosity of Catholics throughout our archdiocese that makes so many wonderful things happen, so many ways in which Christ and His love is brought to people in need, to the protection of the unborn, to the building up of the church community, of service to our young people in colleges and through youth ministries, so many different ways. So there are, in the pocket of the pew, an envelope that should be there with that you can make up your, or pardon me, make your commitment to call to share this year. If perhaps there's not there, you should have received also one in the mail. Please complete that. And the ushers now will have pencils or pens if you need to use one of those. We'll just take a few moments for this. And thank you for a generous commitment.